Happy Friday, everybody, and Happy New Year. Let's make 2021 awesome. My wish for you is that it is a great year for you, that we've made it through 2020, and we got that behind us. We've adapted, we've learned, we've survived, and we are going to make 2021 great. So we have the first podcast of the new year right here on the feed for you. It's just myself and hashtag Scotty G, my good buddy Scott up in Michigan, and we reflect on what a typical New Year's Eve would look like for us down at Walt Disney World. We also look back on 2020 and talk about some of the great memories we made and what Disney really did right and how things had to adapt in 2020 and how that might make our vacations better moving into 2021 and beyond. It's a fun reflection type show, but also very optimistic and looking forward. We also look into our podcast community, how we rallied together, and just kind of a fun discussion of what a crazy year 2020 was. We didn't even know it in January and February. And also, we get a little cameo from Riley, the super dog. And I just left that in for kind of fun because it's so 2020 to have the dog in the middle of the show. So that'll be in there as well. Don't forget, we have three great sponsors, three ways to support the Be Our Guest podcast. First of all, book your next trip with the Magic for Less Travel. There are some great specials out there right now for early 2021, so drop by their website at themagicforless.com. Also, another special dropping on January 5th, where you can get 2 days of tickets free with a qualifying package. Just check out all the details over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that quote form and mention the show, and you and I are going to be planning a great, awesome 2021, maybe a delayed vacation together, and we'll make it worth the wait. So again, check them out over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's a free way to support the show. Just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And one more time, a huge thank you to all of our patrons. You guys carried us in 2020, and I sincerely cannot thank you enough for that. If you'd like some extra content in your week, like Mike in the Midwest, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1826 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy New Year. Happy 2021. Now, this show actually bridges the gap, right? If you're listening early like Andrew or like Alfred or some of our super fans out there that get the show immediately upon hitting the feed, you may be listening to the show in the waning hours of 2020. But if you're, you know, somebody that's, maybe just watching the ball drop or something on New Year's Eve, you're catching this on Friday. It is now 2021. And let me be one of the first to wish you a very happy new year. Let's make this year awesome, because we thought 2020 was going to be awesome. And it was for about 60, 75 days. And then, we got 2020. So we're going to talk about what 2020, the impressions it's going to leave with us as we push past this year, and also kind of look forward to this year that we're in now, 2021, which I really believe is going to be, you know, an amazing year. Once we get through kind of the very beginning of the year, I think things are going to start to get better rapidly. But we'll have the discussion, and joining me today, because the ladies are both at Walt Disney World, leaving me back here at the Be Our Guest Podcast Studios in St. Louis, Missouri, kind of sad and cold. But we have your friend of mine, hashtag Scotty G. What's up, Scott? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone. Happy to be on the last show of 2020 and the first show of 2021. So thanks for calling me in again, Mike. Happy to be here.
That's right. So what are your typical New Year's Eve traditions? We've been at Walt Disney World before for New Year's Eve, which we'll reflect on that in a second, but what do you do back in Michigan on a typical New Year's Eve? Do you watch the Rockin' Eve kind of thing with the ball? Do you guys have any like traditional meals? What do you guys do?
Yeah, we've done some really weird traditional things here. Because my family just can't have enough presents. You know, you go from the holiday season with Christmas, and then comes New Year's, we played this weird game where it's like a Secret Santa almost. You draw like a family member, and you have to buy them like a New Year's gift, basically. You know, because because I'm not tired of shopping at that point. Yeah, I say that sarcastically, like I'm done shopping and now I have to do more. So that's something like we did with my mom and my dad and brother. And, you know, we got away from the last couple of years, but we're going to revamp it again this year. So we're going to play her, my mom's New Year's Eve little family gift exchange, basically. But yeah, Mike, it's exactly what you said. We just put on the TV usually if we're not at Walt Disney World, just watch the show. We play a lot of board games. Because you got to stay up. You got to stay up to midnight. And yeah. I tell you, I struggle with that some days.
Is that not the truth? Like on New Year's Eve, again, I'm 10 years older than you, so I think it's harder for me. But like, I can stay up, you know, I don't stay up that late anymore because I get up so early to run usually. But I usually have no trouble staying up till midnight on like, say, you know, October 12th or something, some random night. But then on New Year's Eve, it's like, dude, it's 10 o'clock. I'm not going to make it too much. It is a struggle for some people, I think, to stay up on New Year's Eve.
It's weird. It's when you have a reason to stay up, you can't. But I'm right with you. Like I'll watch a World Series game and it'll be like midnight out here, basically when the games end. And like, I'm not even tired, you know, but You bring on New Year's where like you have this goal where you have to stay up to midnight and like I struggle. That's why we have to have the games and the party, you know, that keeps the energy going all night so you can stay awake.
I do not know how folks in the Eastern time zone deal with West Coast sporting events because I'm in the Central time zone. And when I see the Blues or the Cardinals are playing the Dodgers or the Ducks or something, I'm like, I'm out. I'll see in the morning what happened. And I mean, it's just crazy.
It's so tough when first pitch is 10 o'clock at night. That is so tough.
Dude, I'd see the top of the first. I'd be like, okay, yeah, time for bed. Anyway, all right. So before we jump into kind of talking about this year and the memories we have of it, both positive and negative, and I think there's both. Let's talk about this year as of, you know, this show coming out on New Year's Eve at the very end here and New Year's Day. Of course, 2020's New Year's Eve down at Walt Disney World looks very different than all the previous New Year's Eve celebrations. If you would have been down there for New Year's Eve, what do you think you would have done? Because, you know, the parks were open late, but none till midnight. They had fireworks on the resort TVs, special like dinners a couple places. But, you know, if you would have been there, what do you think your night would have looked like?
I think we would have hung out at the resorts and just tried to do a lot of the activities that were going on. I saw something about Coronado's activities, and they had things going on all evening long, basically, and it looked really entertaining to me. So, and I love the resorts. You know, you could do like a late swim, you know, to take in the new year, and you could just put a little twist on it. Yeah, you'd miss the fireworks and the fire dragon in China in Epcot, but you'd find a way to make it work. And I would like hanging out at the resort.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, you know, even I think we saw this at Christmas, right? We didn't get to see everybody that we normally see, you know, sometimes maybe did a FaceTime call or what have you. But, you know, the way you got to embrace it is that I think, you know, like, you know, Mallory's and Emily, you know, they're early teens. And, you know, this is going to be one of those things I hope is so unique that 20 years down the line, I'll be like, remember 2020, how it was so different. It wasn't, maybe it won't be so negative. It'll just be like that one year that we did everything just so differently. And then 2021 and on, you know, we get back to the traditional, everybody gets together, everybody does their things. But I think that's how we have to look at New Year's Eve. So let's talk about, we've been to New Year's Eve to Epcot many times. What do you miss? Like if we could have done it this year, like a normal year, you mentioned the fire breathing dragon in China. We bring this up a lot on the show. And I mean, it's so funny because, you know, we are folks, Scott and I both love Epcot for what Epcot is. You know, it's a cultural center in the World Showcase. You got some fun rides and science and so forth going on up in Future World, a lot of construction. But like all bets are off on New Year's Eve at Epcot. And I love that. Like, it's just like, God, this is not Epcot. This is like a club. And it's, I think that's what's awesome. I mean, so what do you think about it?
Oh, totally. It is not the Epcot that we know on a 364 days of the year, but it is just, it is like that club atmosphere. Italy does some crazy dancing too. UK usually has like a live band out there. Mm-hmm. But if you're still there to like do the attractions, you know, if it's like your only trip, like you can still do Soarin' and Test Track and all that stuff. But what I really like about New Year's Eve is just hanging out at World Showcase, getting a couple cocktails, and just soaking in like that club like atmosphere, because it is unlike anything else. And I just absolutely love it. Everyone's got their party hats. Yes. And their noisemakers. Like, it's unreal.
Yes, yes. And so if you've never been there, and hopefully 2021 will be back to normal, let's cross our fingers. We have 365 days. But, you know, it's one of those things that you got to go in with a strategy, right? I mean, the thing, For one, let's give some tips here. One, don't go at rope drop. Because the thing is, you get a little nervous. Every year this happens to me. I get nervous that Epcot's going to fill the capacity. It doesn't. It's a huge park. In 2021, I really would doubt that it will. But, you know, like, sleep in that morning of the 31st. Go play. We played putt-putt. I think we got together to play putt-putt. We went over to the fountain and had ice cream and burgers and stuff around lunchtime. And we got to Epcot around 4 o'clock. I think that was, like, perfect, right? A little bit before dinner time.
Yeah, we'd like to get there because on New Year's Eve, they also do – well, previously they would do 2 illumination shows. So we'd like to get there for that first illumination show because it's still dark enough to do it. And, you know, that's a great time to walk in the park. You see illuminations. You see the tag. You have dinner. And then, yeah, you just walk around to all the clubs is what I like to call them. They're not country pavilions anymore. They're just straight up clubs.
Right. Italy. Yeah. Italy was like, you know what? Because, I mean, like, you know, we had fun in China. Fire-breathing dragon is base. Like, I mean, just like your stomach's just going. Live band in Europe, in UK. But I'm just telling you, like, Italy was so out of control. I didn't even feel comfortable going into Italy. I'm like, I am way too old. Like, that's for the youngins. Like, it was just, that was too hip. Like, Italy, I don't know. It was so funny. And the thing I missed, though, the silent disco. And we had never done it at that point, but we did it on the podcast cruise. Dude, I'm all team silent disco next time.
Silent disco is awesome. Then my other recommendation is, I know things are different this year. If you're listening right now and you're trying to plan for 2021 New Year's Eve, and who knows what that's going to look like, but try to stay at we're obviously encouraging Epcot. I mean, there's other parks that you can go to. Epcot is our number one choice.
Are there and other parks on New Year's Eve? Seriously, there's not. You've got to go to Epcot. It's awesome.
It's a myth. But you let me know how Rise of Resistance is, I guess, on New Year's Eve. I'll pass on that. Yeah. But just go to try to stay at an Epcot area resort if you can, because then you could just walk back. You know, you don't have to deal with like the traffic. You know, it is just so nice to just have a party, go to the clubs, leave Epcot like around 12:15, 12:30, whenever, and then just walk back to your room.
And the thing, awesome. Two other things that we're going to talk about the year, because I'm missing it, and it was so much fun. One is, do have a dinner ADR somewhere. Get that early. I mean, we've eaten at Chefs de France a couple of times. Because the thing is, like, even if – so one year we had no ADR at New Year's Eve. This was a few years back. Of course, I was starving, right? But, I mean, so you just got to pick – I was so hungry that I'm like, I don't even care what I eat at this point. Like, I'll eat like a snack. I'll just get like 3 snacks or what have you. I mean, you start just getting into survival mode. I went to China and got the counter service. China, was that Lotus Blossom? I can't remember.
Yep, that's it.
So, I mean, I waited like 45 minutes just to get regular standard Chinese food, but I did not care. And then by the time you get done eating, you got, you know, you got to plan out your restroom breaks. I mean, you might wait 20 minutes to go to the restroom. You can't wait till the last minute. It is definitely, it's nuts. It's crazy, but it's so fun. Like, but you got it. ADR is golden. Have a dinner ADR because I get you out sitting down for a little bit. Then you go out like 6 or 7 and just party the rest of the night. So, I miss it.
ADR is critical. I remember one year we had a huge group, maybe like 4 or 5 different families, and we ate in Japan.
Oh my God. Yeah. Sorry.
We all got separated. Like I ate with Ricky and the Martins. Oh, Ricky Martin.
Yes.
And then Elizabeth and Emily were off at a different table. Like, it was so wild.
They took us in different rooms in Tepanito. we're like, see you later. Happy New Year. Yep. No, it's a nut house. You just try to sort. And plus you got to see the greatest things. Like, it becomes like a refugee camp. Like, you just see people just sleeping, you know, like at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, just trying to make it till midnight. I mean, because this was back when Interventions was basically empty, and you would just see people just randomly just like in a corner, just sleeping. Yeah, it's okay. I'm in a theme park on the floor, nasty floor. Anyway. All right. So let's look. God, those are fun memories. Let's look back at 2020. So, of course, now I can't remember. I know, were you down there for Marathon and Princess? I don't think you did Princess, right?
So I was there for Marathon, and then we were there the weekend before Princess. That's we did right. President's weekend.
So you got 2 trips in as well before this all started to go downhill like me.
Oh, yeah. That was smart.
So, I mean, you know, those first 2 trips, like Marathon weekend, let's look back on that real quick. We were both there. I mean, the thing I remember about that, you know, we thought this was going to be a bad sign for 2020, was like it was so hot on Marathon Sunday. I mean, it was hot when the race started. Like, before the sun came up, it was humid. It was sticky. We're like, oh, Lord, we're going to run 20 miles.
How about the bus transportation? If that was in 2020, like if that wasn't a sign what was going to come, remember like Phil got dropped off at the studio?
Yeah, that's totally right. Like, how did we not know then? Yeah, the Run Disney buses dropped some people off at the wrong place.
It was hotter than heck to begin the race, and it started like 40 minutes later.
Yeah, that's right. It did start late. I forgot about that. They started the race late because some people didn't get to the corrals, and then people were chasing them down. Like, they were, the race had already started. They're just like, I got to get to the corrals. So they ran like 28 miles. I don't know. But it was just, you know, we remember that because, you know, the race was hot. I mean, I saw people dropping once we got, this was on Sunday, you know, because that was the last race. So I remember that the most, like around Coronado Springs as we got over to Blizzard Beach. I mean, it was just a brutal stretch where there was just no shade. You know, you're out on the roads, and it's by that time the sun's right above you. It's beating down on you. And I mean, that was so 2020, because what I remember about that was just surviving the race, honestly, yeah. Because it was so hot. It was miserable.
Yeah. And it was Jess's first full. Like, she trained really hard. It was my friend Jess. And one thing I told her, like, in March when stuff started to get really crazy, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, this is so terrible. Like, you know, what's 2020 going to be like? I sent her a message and said, as terrible as 2020 is right now, just remember that you ran a marathon in 2020. Right. Not many people can say. So, like, you kind of have to look on the bright side of things. And that's one thing I always loved about Marathon Weekend being in January is that right off the bat, boom, you accomplish a huge goal. Then the rest of the year is just like, all right, yeah, I ran a marathon this year.
I've thought the exact same thing, Scott. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like you're 2 weeks in. You're like 10 days into the year. You're like, I've run a marathon. But, you know, if I don't do anything else the rest of the year,
exactly. I've done something. You don't have to do anything else, and you ran a marathon already.
That's so true. And I'm not saying I didn't enjoy Marathon Weekend. I loved Marathon Weekend. It was great. It was just during that race, that was probably the toughest physical and mental challenge I've ever had running, because, you know, like, I've run in cold, and I ran that half marathon where it sleeted and snowed and it was sticking to you. Like, you had stuff stick like ice on you, and that was miserable. Don't get me wrong, but like, heat just almost wants to kill you. So I was just glad we got that done.
I think about 2020 and the start of the year, like, if we went into 2020 with so much like promise and maybe expectations too, like D23 was just a few months removed, and we're like, we're already thinking about the 50th anniversary in 2021. Ooh, is it going to start in October this year? Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many unknowns and so many great attractions being built, like Ratatouille. Like, the year started off so great. Like, I had plans to go to Aulani in 2020. You know, like, oh, man, I'm going to hit the Aulani bucket list. I'm going to do Star Wars. I'm going to finally do the Kessel Run. You know, like, I had so many goals and aspirations for 2020 outside of completing the full marathon. And then it looked to be so good, right, Mike? And then March.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, I remember when things really started to hit for me. And again, remember, this is what I do full time for a living. So I was really, really freaking out. I mean, ask, you know, Pam was freaking out. I mean, we all were. But the thing is, like, I remember that on March 7th, that's my wife's birthday. That's Pam's birthday. And it was on a Saturday this past year. And that morning, we had a local half marathon just down the street. And I just signed up for it because it was like 10 minutes down the street. I mean, it was real, real close. And it was in this park down the road, and I know it's flat. And I knew I could probably get, because I had, you know, run marathon. I'd run Princess. I was in decent shape. I'm like, I'm going to run this one as hard as I can, because there's no reason to, like, there's no character stops. You know, like, there's no distractions. Like, I'm just going to run this one as hard as I can, get as good of a time as I can so I can use that for qualifying times, you know, for the next year or two for my corrals. And so I did run that morning. We had her birthday party at her, you know, at her parents' house that afternoon. And that's kind of when everything started going down. You know, she found out that they were going to shut schools down. You know, we started hearing the Disney rumors that, you know, Cruise Line. I think for me, it started off with Cruise Line, right? Because to me, I had gone through hurricanes with the cruise ships where, oh my gosh, they're going to cut this cruise short. So I had to get with my guests and, you know, make sure that they were okay. You know, that the next sailing might not go out because they might not get in on time. And, you know, to me as a travel agent, I've been doing this for 8 or 9 years. The biggest thing I've had to worry about over that time is like one canceled sailing because of a hurricane. And then it would get back to normal, or a ship comes in late because of fog in Galveston or something. And, you know, like, the world was ending at that point, like a hurricane with one missed cruise. So 2020 was like, hold my beer. We're going to bring these cruise ships in, and they're still not sailing, you know, and it's the end of the year. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on, like, when it started to fall apart as far as, like, the Disney news, the Disney universe for you?
Yeah, I think it was, like, around St. Patrick's Day. Like, I don't know why March 17th keeps triggering me for when this happened. I think that's when I think I got word that I had to start going to work. I'm going to start working from home. And then I remember like a coworker came by to me and said, Scott, are you okay? I'm like, what do you mean I'm okay? They're like, I just heard that Disneyland in Anaheim is closed. And I'm like, oh, like, I haven't heard that yet. And then that's when it, because I believe Disneyland was first to announce it, if yeah, I recall.
And do you remember, I believe this is true, that they had to close, but then somehow Disneyland got a like an exemption and they got to reopen, but the other theme parks didn't. And they did for, I think, like a day. And then Disneyland closed because I think they thought this doesn't look good and this is probably more serious than we initially thought. But I think they got an exemption initially for like one day and then closed.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so it started with Disneyland, if I recall, and then shortly after, then the Florida parks followed suit. I remember recording a podcast with you, actually, with Ricky, and like Ricky was going to go down there like that weekend.
Yeah, she was.
And then that weekend they were going to close, and she's like, ah, forget that. You know, I don't want to take a chance there. And like, that was just, it was really sad. And from your perspective, Mike, like, I mean, it's sad, but then you're also like, well, this is my income. This is what I do for a living. Like, so I can't imagine like the stress and the urgency that you had when all these theme parks and cruise lines and everything was starting to close.
Yeah, it was a little harrowing. I mean, I'm always a positive person and I've always, you know, been lucky enough. God's taking care of us and we're good and, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't stress too much, but I mean, you know, this tested a little, you know, it's put a couple gray hairs on top of my head for sure. But, you know, we've made it through. Like, I mean, we got to do the nightly podcast throughout the year, the call-in shows for like 3 months. I got to make, you know, meet new people each night. We'd talk Disney, we'd talk life. And, you know, we started the Patreon, which I, you know, as soon as things get back to normal, that's going to go away. But everybody supported us through that. And I mean, I can't thank them enough. I mean,
just keep the Patreon going. I mean, it's a good, I don't
know. You just you find a way though, right? And everybody, I hope, has found a way, you know, maybe like my wife, she doesn't like working. My wife hates technology. I mean, and the thing is, she says it all the time. That's why technology always causes her headaches, because technology is like, you hate me, I'll hate you back. I keep telling her that, but, you know, she's adapted to, I mean, she's second nature now, virtual teaching. She's been doing it the entire year. And I mean, my wife, like, she's not, so she wants to be in person, right? She needs a Blackboard. But she's, you know, we've all learned new skills. And, you know, some things will carry through, some things won't. I mean, we've talked about this all year. I mean, Disney had to do so many things in a new way, but a lot of ways they're better. Like, right, I mean, if I'm down in July, I don't want to have people right on top of me. I don't think we need the 6 feet social distancing once this is all over, but I think maybe we won't like be bumping into each other and being like right in each other's grills. And the character cavalcades, they got to stay. I mean, there's a lot of things, mobile order, using technology to be more efficient in getting things done. I think this has forced a lot of new ideas that I think are going to stick around in 2021 and beyond.
The cavalcades are one of my favorite things to come out of this. When you think about the parks, I you just said it, like, my favorite thing is really, I really love the 6 feet distancing markers in a line. Like, even though, like, I swear, like, we always have a family stuck behind us that don't pay attention to them, especially like in Rise of the Resistance.
That's true. That's, everybody's just excited. Whatever. The force is with me. I don't have to stay 6 feet back.
Yeah. But I love the idea, because like, that is the worst. Like, especially like in a 100-degree day, and then you just have someone just keep bumping into you. Like, I don't know, like, that's always bugged me. And I'm gonna not be very popular here, but I love the elimination of FastPass right now. I really do.
I need it back. I need it back. But I get it. I understand the logic. I know.
I just love the idea of like, I don't want to be like a Space Mountain and have a FastPass for Big Thunder in like 10 minutes, you know? Like, I don't know. I just love the flexibility of just like, hey, let's just walk around, which is kind of what we do anyway. I mean, we book the 3 pass passes and still use them, but like, we just like to, we don't plan as much as we used to, I guess, back in the day. But I can see, like, if, you know, it's your once every 2 trip year trip, you know, like, having those fast passes are really critical, you know, to make sure you can get your favorites done.
Right. And it's good marketing. I mean, really, it's, you know, as much as it is crowd control and spreading people out, it's a marketing thing for Disney. Like, they can say, You are guaranteed 3 headliners every single day of your 4, 5, 6 night vacation. I mean, it's a good PR move for Disney, so I get it. But I mean, you're right. And so before I jump into this, I want to talk about like highlights and things that we enjoyed on our trips in 2020, despite everything going on. But before we do that, I mean, when we think about, you know, you and I are very much alike. This is why we're really good friends, is that we look at things very similarly. And I'm a huge like history buff. you know, and especially when it comes to things I like, you know, whether it's, you know, the town I live in, I like to know, like, what was here 100 years ago? What was here, you know, 200 years ago? And I've always, you know, kind of looked at Walt Disney World, not Disneyland so much because I've never been there yet, but Disney World, you know, I've looked at it and it was before this year, it was so unique to have a theme park closed, you know, because the thing is, we've done these shows many times because I'm obsessed with this. Like, it's so weird because, like, think of the hotels at Walt Disney World. They are 24/7, 365. There's, you know, there's somebody in the Ranchos at Coronado Springs all the time. There's somebody in the 60s building on floor 4, you know, all the time. And, you know, for it seems so weird to have an entire, not just the theme parks, but the hotels, the entire Walt Disney World sitting like a ghost town for weeks and months. I mean, historically, I'm going to look back on that. I just can't believe it because I thought, you know, like one day around September 11th or a hurricane that the park, you know, Magic Kingdom closes for a day. That was a huge deal until March, and then March happened. I mean, put this in historical context for you. Like, what are you going to think about?
Yeah, I'm going to think about that too. I'm going to think of like how Disney bounces back from this, you know, like they're a huge organization where they're losing millions, probably in the billions. I never really looked at the figures, but just think how much money they're losing every day where from the just the parks division of someone not staying at those resorts, not buying theme park tickets, not buying food, purchasing food there, like just the loss of income.
Right.
Just like blows my mind. You and I talk about like I just want to have a minute's worth of like the parking toll, right?
We have these discussions all the time, like driving around because you'll rent a car, we'll be driving from, you know, the Magic Kingdom parking lot back to the hotel or what have you, you know, going to get something to eat. And it's like, if you really, really think about this, and I'm sure our listeners probably have, but if you haven't, do this for 1 second. Just say, if I could just have 1 minute worth of revenue from property, like, how much would that be? Because in that minute, somebody is probably checking out at 50's Primetime Cafe. Somebody's probably buying something at Mouse Gears. You know, probably two or three transactions within a minute. You know, they have a bajillion registers. You know, World of Disney, there's probably, you know, 18 people checked out in a minute, every minute at World of, you know, I mean, T-Rex. I mean, just pick any random place, Boathouse, somebody's getting something at Landscape of Flavors at Art of Animation. Somebody's buying a shirt. Somebody's bought their, you know, annual pass. Cha-ching! You know, it's like, God, like 1 minute. You're right. I mean, take that 1 minute and then push it out over months. Crazy.
Yeah. Disneyland has been open. I mean, they haven't even reopened yet. Like that kills me a little bit. But so I'll think about that a little bit too. But I'm just going to think about like how they bounce back, like how they came up with the new ideas with the social distancing markers. You know, how they had to get creative. And I don't know. I'm really impressed with how they bounce back. I think Disney Plus saved the company pretty good this year too, totally, with all those subscriptions.
Yes.
So hindsight, looking at that, like, man, that's so great that they launched that, like, you know, months before this whole thing started. But what also I wanted to talk about this, Mike, that I feel really saved, like Walt Disney World Resort in particular. And I thought some people don't care for it. I loved it. I thought the NBA bubble was a huge thing for the resort.
Right.
I mean, I know they own ESPN, so they had like, you know, they got the TV deals and all that stuff too. But I thought it was great for staff. You know, you had all these cast members that could work on the, like, at ESPN and at some of the resorts and at some of the restaurants. Like, I thank the NBA for doing that. And there was other bubbles too. I know, like, I think MLS was there as well too, but like, I focus on the NBA, and I just thought that was a great thing to come out of this. You know, we're not using the resorts. We can't have the parks open. How about we had the NBA come here?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, because I first heard of that on Twitter, right? And I'm like, dude, that's a crazy idea. You know, but then the more I thought about it, I was seeing it as a Disney fan, you know, and like I'm sure you were initially too. Like, man, I want that to happen because how cool would it be to find out that, you know, like, you know, the Pistons are staying at the Coronado Springs, you know, and then they're bussing over like we do for Marathon Weekend over to ESPN and playing games, coming back. I mean, I wanted to see the logistics of it. And honestly, when I first started hearing about it, I didn't think it would happen. I was like, oh my God, it's like a Disney fans, you know, fantasy. But it did, and it was a model for the NHL too. They did the bubble up in Canada for hockey, and it was kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really great. I think it was kind of overlooked a little bit, you know, for what that did for the company. But then, like, if you want to start talking about the memories, you know, that we had of 2020. So, like, the parks opened what was it, late July-ish or mid-July? Yeah, it was after 4th of July.
It was around July 15th, I think. And actually, they opened up, remember, they opened up some DVC resorts before the parks. So for historical context, they opened up the DVC, not all of them, but some of them opened, I think, about 2 weeks before the theme parks even reopened.
Yeah, like late June, I think they were. So I think the resorts were open for 4th of July because as a DVC member, you know, you got all these points and you went several months with guests not using points. So I still feel that's going to be a problem come 2022. There's going to be so many DVC members that are still banking points. That's going to be a problem. But that was great. That was great. I mean, just hanging out at the resort would be just enough to get that taste. I thought about going down there just to stay at a resort.
Yeah, you know, you're a Disney fan and you're like, okay, all the parks are closed, but I still got to go. I got to swim. I just got to be in the bubble. And I mean, you know, I thank those people who went down early, you know, because they were the guinea pigs. They were the canary in the coal mine, right? I mean, if they would have come back and not felt comfortable, I mean, we're just in that age where you don't have to wait 2 weeks to find out somebody wrote an article in the Post, you know, to find out how they felt. I mean, you're getting the information in real time. People are streaming video and, you know, the initial thoughts were, they're doing a good job here. They've got somebody. And the thing is, as long as those parks were closed, it was an amazingly short amount of time for the idea that Disney put so many new policies in place to keep people safe, right? Put up plexiglass, social distancing markers, and just basically start to retrain the public as to what a Walt Disney World vacation looks like. Because, like, you know, I go through my Google Photos now and I look like it, like when we were there for the 40th, Magic Kingdom in the hub. People like stack three people tall. I mean, you are shoulder to shoulder. There are people stacked like three people tall. It is nuts. And I mean, like, I look at that and I'm like, ah, you know, and hopefully we get back to that. I mean, we will, but it's like they have retrained us so well that like that picture now shocks me. And they did that in a real quick amount of time.
Yeah. And then, and I believe when they reopened it, like you were saying, like they had the DVC members that could stay on site. And then they had, I think they opened up the annual pass holders could do like a trial before everyone could go like on June or July 17th or whenever that was. But then, so we went shortly after that. So we went to Florida we rented a house with some friends. And this is my epic, like I was in Florida for like 25 days or whatever. Because we stayed at a house for a week and I was like, yeah, let's hop over to Disney. Then I called you and said, hey, can you add 17 nights on for
me?
That's
right. Yeah, we can do that.
But that was so epic because, I mean, because there was still a lot of uncertainty, right? Like not everyone knew like what the safety protocols were. Like Florida was like at an all-time high at that point for like positive test cases for COVID. So that made me nervous too. But I was like, you know what? I trust Disney. You know, we're going to wear our masks. You know, let's just check it out. There probably won't be that many people here. And there really weren't that many people there, as you know, because you came down a week later.
It was crazy.
And that was huge. That was awesome.
You know, the thing is, I know it wasn't right for everybody, and I respect everybody's opinions of when to go, when not to go. Hey, there goes the monorail behind the by the way, Disney Plus, go to the ambiance section, and you can watch sunrises at all four parks. I have the Epcot one played. It is awesome. Anyway, totally distracted because I saw a monorail. Anyway, though, but yeah, when we went down, and the thing is, like, when I look back, my biggest memory from 2020 as far as Disney was that I got to take Mallory down, just Mallory and I. We talked about doing this for years, but she was still on summer break and, you know, school's delayed a little bit with trying to come up with the new procedures for school, and they were going to do virtual. They actually went back, but they were thinking about doing virtual. But we got to go down for like 5 nights and just, you're right, there was nobody there. It was so weird. And it was, Jennifer mentioned this too in the live chat as we're talking here, that this was a very relaxing trip. We were not rushing for rope drops because some of the rope drops were at 11 o'clock in the morning. We were not rushing for fast passes. We were not staying up super late for extra magic hours like we'd be tempted to do. It was so far away from the norm that it was almost like I had never been before. But it was still also on the same token, though, I was getting to do so much of the stuff I like at a very leisurely pace. I loved it in August.
I feel like vacation.
Yeah, totally. Right? And I don't ever feel like vacation when I'm going. Yeah.
And one of my favorite memories from that trip that you came down with Mallory, like the father-daughter trip, and I had Emily and Elizabeth was with me, is that one night we ate at Liberty Tree Tavern, and then we booked the last ADR. We really took our time, had a great meal, met Sandy, you know, and had a great time there. And then we just slowly walked out, and we had a sunset, like private viewing, basically, of the sunset over Cinderella's Castle, and we took so many photos, and that's one of my favorite memories of that trip.
You know, that's one of my favorite memories ever, because I was with, you know, my best friends, I was with my daughter, and I mean, it was just, you know, we always talk about Florida having like the cotton candy sky, and it was just, it was surreal. I mean, it was so bizarre that we were literally, I mean, you think like, oh, you're the last ones in the hub. You know, it's you and like 100 other people. Because, I mean, relatively, if there's only 100 people in the hub, you're by yourself. We were the only ones in the hub. Like, there weren't even security guards like chasing us out either. Like, we could have stayed longer probably. We just felt like we didn't want to hassle them. But, I mean, you know, like we had the partner statue to ourselves. We had the castle to ourselves at sunset. All the beautiful flowers. Yeah, I will never forget. That was the, I mean, it was like, is this real? I mean, because I know a lot of people still didn't want to travel, but it was just like, oh, this. You knew the historical value of that night, right? You knew you're probably never going to have this happen ever again.
So awesome. You know, another thing we kind of overlooked when we were kind of going through, like starting early in the year, was that we had a brand new attraction that opened for like a week before all this happened. Like Mickey and Minnie and Runaway Railway, like they had this great press event. I think Pam went down there. And I mean, it's a spectacular attraction, but like it was only open for like 2 weeks before the shutdown. Like, how terrible is that?
Right. I know. And that was one of those things, like, you know, because I think you're like me. Like, I always try to avoid the spoilers until I can get down there. And I don't necessarily always get down there in the first week or two or month. And I didn't want to be spoiled, but I mean, in a way, it was hard because we had that long period till I got to go down and experience it in August. But also, there were a very select few who actually got to see the attraction. You know, you had to have been there in that 2 week window. And then it was like, yep, too bad. Nobody knows. So it was, yeah. So, but I'm glad Mickey and Minnie's, that was definitely a highlight of 2020. They did that well.
For sure. Another highlight too. I mean, Mike, I got to applaud you. Like, I know you hear it all the time. I'm going to tell you too, like you're, and you mentioned it earlier, your check-in shows, I think were really helpful for a lot of people, including myself too. Like, just to be able to like tune in and listen to you for an hour during those like really dark moments early on. I think that was really helpful. And you know what? I've met some really good friends since then too. Like, you know, I've met Beth who listens in every night. I met Wade and his family too. Like there's been some great friendships that have come from this as well too, Mike. So I applaud you for doing this.
You know what it was? I mean, where was I going? Right. I mean, and the thing was, like, I know, right? My job was booking Disney vacations. That really wasn't super. I mean, I was doing a ton of that's the thing is people might think like if you like with Pam and folks at work and travel that 2020 was a slow year. It wasn't necessarily a slow year. Honestly, in 2020, I've worked harder than I ever have as a travel agent because there's been so many cancellations. There's been so many, thank God, there's been a lot of modifications where, you know, people have changed their dates 3-4 times, you know, like in March, you think, okay, I'll go in June. So we moved the trip to June. The parks are still closed in June. Okay, we'll go in August. Well, I'm not sure about flying in August. We'll move it to November. And the thing, and that, you know, that's why we're here. That's what we do. But it's been the year that I've worked the hardest in travel, but you know, things just, you know, don't work out normally. But the check-ins were great for me because I'm very much a structured person. I get up at 5:17 every morning. I put on the sneakers. I got to go for my run. I eat breakfast at 8:30. I got to be on my email by 8:50. I'm just like, I don't know. It's like how my brain works. And it gave me something like, okay, it's 7:00 Eastern. We're going to get to have 1 hour of just talking Disney and not even talking Disney for a lot of us. Just talking about like, okay, what's going on in New York? Cause that was so like at the time, Missouri was like avoiding it, you know, like it was, I was still living in my normal world and New York City was melting down and I wanted to be able to like find out how we could help. And I mean, I learned a lot and like you said, made so many great friends over that time. So it was just fun that we got to all rally together. And that's always been the rallying point of this podcast is we have great listeners. And not only do we get to know each other via Twitter and Facebook and social media and so forth, but I mean, I know like you hung out, you know, we've had many meals with Beth. You've had meals with Wade and his family and his wife. And, you know, I think that is the greatest thing. Same for me. It's all about relationships. And we got, what else did you have to do? So we got to make new friends in March.
I know. Yeah, I know. I totally get it. It was like, man, I just want to go away from Pam and Mallory, right? Because like,
I got to go do a show. I'm going down to the studio.
You know, and I appreciate the hard work you have. Like, I can only imagine like all the rebookings you had to do. And one thing we talked about a little bit earlier is just like the cruises. Like we still can't cruise, and I'm sure you've rebooked so many cruises, probably multiple cruises for the same parties, and like that's just one of the many frustrations of 2020. You know, is the cruise line, and I'm itching to get back on a ship bad.
My daughter Mallory, 3 times a day. When are we going cruising? I don't know. Like I wish I knew because I have about 1,000 other people that would like to know the answer to that. Because she's just like, I just want to go on a cruise. I'm like, dude, stop. I just want to go on a cruise too. Like, trust me. I miss the dream. I miss the fantasy. I miss the wonder. I miss the magic. And I want to be on the Wish when it comes out. You know, like, I just, the thing is too, you know, about real quick about cruising. The thing is you look back on what you miss, and it's not even Castaway Key. It's not the things like that are the major things on the cruise. Like, I just miss going to play trivia with friends and then getting to know the cruise director staff, you know, like the Tonys, Tony from Spain, you know, and just that kind of stuff. And again, it's community. It's the cast members. It's the friends. And it's the, because for me, especially Run Disney weekends, it's going down and seeing my friends, you know, like the Bankheads. You know, I really only see them at Run Disney weekends, you know, and Ricky and Pam. I don't see them a lot outside of Disney vacations. You know, a lot of times it's you, you know, when I see your family, it's at Disney. So for me, you know, what I miss the most is just being able to go down and we're going to get to do that more in 2021, but it's seeing the friends. And we didn't get to see that as much.
I totally agree. Seeing the friends are huge. I was fortunate. I did get to see Pam this summer, you know, and I got to see you a couple times, or one time. I can't even remember. How many times did you come down?
Yeah, we got to see each other in August and December.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's been helpful. But the transition into, like, what we're looking forward to in 2021, cruising is definitely on the top of my list. I know there's still – we still got to get through this pandemic. I mean, it's still really serious. So as long as, like, we're all still wearing our masks, you know, I know the vaccine's coming out, things like that. We still got to fight through this. And I know we will, but man, cruising is something I'm really looking forward to. And just as much as cruising, like, I just want to see Disneyland be open. Like, the original park, like, not being open, it just crushes me so bad. I know you haven't been there, but, like, man, like, when it reopens, like, I'm ready to book your trip for you. like just to get out there.
Seriously,
you know?
I think that's kind of the thing we've learned as not just, like, Disney fans, but as, like, humans that have a desire to live life to the fullest is, like, you know, I delayed a Disneyland trip for the last 10 years, right? Because I have an annual pass to Walt Disney World. I don't want to have to buy tickets out there. It's a little bit more expensive of a flight. And, of course, I wasn't flying forever. Now it's a lot easier now that I fly. But it's like the lesson that 2020 taught me is that I'm going to go to Disneyland sooner rather than later because I've been, you know, like that's something I wish that I had. You know, like I wish I have been on Mr. Toad's or I've gone on Alice, you know, or just all these things, you know, the better pirates that everybody talks about. You know, I can talk about it from everybody else's experience, but that's the thing is moving forward. I want those experiences. I want to travel so bad. And you're exactly right. And I know you've been there many times. I mean, how cool would it be right now to walk through Disneyland knowing nobody's been in there for, God, what's it been like at this point, like 9 months? I mean, could you imagine?
I can't imagine. And like, I don't know if I just haven't been on top of my news, but like, how about like Snow White getting like a refurb out there? Like, I had no idea that was even
going to work. Seriously, like, what?
Like, I love Scary Adventure, but I'm excited for the new one too. But just the fact that like Walt's Park, you know, and I know like they did this, the Parks Wild did this great little feature about like how the light is still on, you know, that actually like touched me a little bit. I loved seeing that. And I have hope. We gotta keep battling through. It's not over yet. I know we think, hey, 2021 is a fresh start, right? We're flipping the calendar over, but we're still gonna be fighting the same challenges that we are right now. But I know we're just gonna get through it.
We are. I mean, and if you think about it, you know, today, so let's kind of, you know, because we're running a little long. So it's, yeah, that's a problem. When you and I get on here with nobody else, we could probably do a 7-hour show because that's just what we do. But, As we look into 2021, I mean, think about it. You know, we've made steady progress. So the parks, let's talk Walt Disney World. So the parks at Walt Disney World reopened with 25% capacity. You know, very few restaurants open. You know, there wasn't a lot in August. You know, you had very few options. Oh, gosh, the dog just got the squeaky toy. Hang on.
I hear it.
Riley, get over here. I'm not throwing it. Go away. Santa Hedgehog, yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so let me mark that so I can get that up. Beautiful, beautiful.
Should we do a 7-hour show, Mike?
We should.
Really good.
Yes. Beat it, dog. Okay, I love that dog. Okay, so let me get back on. So let's talk about Walt Disney World here for just a second. So, you know, the parks reopened to 25% capacity, and you know, as of today, when this show comes out, we're getting something back that we've really missed, right? Park hopping. Now, it's not typical park hopping. I mean, Disney's laid down some rules. You got to go. I love this. You got to go to your scheduled park first. Make sure you do that. And then at 2 o'clock, and they have said as time goes on, this time could change either earlier or later in the day. They don't know. But right now, as of 2 o'clock, okay, you can go to another park, but they're being very careful. You know, check to make sure there's availability at that park you want to go to. I think they're saying look for the studios to make sure that, you know, there's, you can get in before you leave the Magic Kingdom or what have you. But I mean, we're getting there. If you think about it, I mean, think about how many things we're still missing. We're missing dining plans. We're missing extra magic hours, fast passes, hard ticket events. There's still a lot of restaurants that are closed. I mean, even favorites, the simple ones like Columbia Harbor House, the Plaza Ice Cream Store, Casey's, you know, what have you. So
that's not open.
What's that?
You still have a resort that's not even open.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're getting Wilderness Lodge in June. We're getting Beach Club at Memorial Day weekend. But, I mean, Animal Kingdom Lodge, who knows? Both Riverside and French Quarter, we don't know. All-Stars, some of the All-Stars. So looking into 2021, like, of those things that are missing, like, what do you want to come back first? Like, what do you think would kind of get us rolling in the right direction? Because some, you know, could be delayed. But what are you really missing? You know, dining plans? I mean, a lot of stuff still missing.
I mean, you started it, and it's the one that's coming back today. Park hopping, I think, is crucial. But I'm curious, like, how that's going to work, though, because the hours are going to be reduced, right? I mean, the park hours, I think they're released. They're not as long as they've been over the holiday season. So, like, it might be kind of tough to park hop, like, because I think everyone's going to be drawn to go to Epcot, right? Because it's open the latest. So you'll go to Magic Kingdom in the morning, and then, like, I feel like Epcot's going to get really busy at night with the park.
Totally. The thing is, here's the thing I think you got to think about, which people haven't, is that you got to remember Epcot's capacity will be capped at 35%. It's not going to be the 100% capacity. You know, like, if I always think Epcot never closes for capacity because that's pre-COVID. Where I think now Epcot will close for capacity, because you're exactly right. I mean, nobody's going to hop to Animal Kingdom if it closes at 5 o'clock and you got to go at 2. I mean, by the time you get there, there's not a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but definitely I'm really intrigued to see how it goes, and maybe we'll slowly see some capacity increases as time goes on. As you said, like, it's like the carousel of progress. You know, Walt loved progress.
Yeah.
And you just think about the progress that Disney has made compared to July 17th this year up till now, like, but the capacity increases, the restaurants have been huge to me. And then the hours are so short to begin with, and look how much they expanded into the holiday season. I mean, these are like normal hours right now that we're seeing, you know, outside of like New Year's Eve, you know, staying open to like 1 a.m. for Epcot. But definitely there's been great progress near the end here of 2020. And I'm just really excited to see the progress as we head to the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, again, I wonder what Disney's thinking with the 50th, right? Because it's so kind of unknown. I mean, this was going to be the blowout. You know, I'm sure that they, you know, they wanted all four parks just stacked full of people, you know, pre-COVID, come October 1st. And, yeah, I think what they're going to have to do, if I had to guess, is kind of they're going to have a celebration, obviously, on October 1st and have a, you know, pretty big deal. But what I think what I would do if I were in Disney shoes is more in the marketing, say that, you know, October 1st is the kickoff, but this is really a 18-month celebration, right? Let's spread it out. Like, you don't have to, you can be here on November 1st and still get all of the same stuff, other than like the real geeky stuff. Like, I was there on October 1st, you know, that they give out, you know, every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think they really need to kind of shift the marketing. Like, if you come down mid-December, it's still the 50th. You know, if you come in February of 2022, you're still celebrating the 50th with us. I mean, do you kind of think that's what they got to kind of shift to?
That's exactly what they're going to – I think they're going to take a model that they took from Disneyland 60th. I went to Disneyland 60th on two different trips in two different years. I saw the beginning of it, and I saw the last weekend of it, you know, and I feel like they're going to play that out for the 50th year too. And I think it's smart. I think it's a great marketing approach. But, you know, there's other – I mean, we talk about the capacity increases, you know, seeing more restaurants, park hopping. We had the water parks that are about to open too. I'm excited about that. I think it's Typhoon is opening first.
Blizzard Beach opens March 7th.
I had a 50-50 shot at it. So.
Yep, it's not my favorite, but Blizzard Beach is fun. You get to go on Summit Plummet.
Yeah, so I think that'll be really great to see the water parks opening. And then, like, I'm excited to see a new attraction. Really hoping to see some Ratatouille here early in 2021.
As of the day we recorded, they let some people like back in that area today. It said Ratatouille fans. I don't know what that means.
Did you see the headband? It's like a chef's hat, like mouse eaters. Like they look so cute. You know, Emily's gonna want those.
Yeah, you know that. So yeah. So as we wrap this up, though, you know, again, 2021, I'm very optimistic. I mean, the thing is, like, I am not going to say it can't be worse than 2020 because it can. I mean, just do not tempt the universe at this point. So don't anybody else say that.
Like, we didn't start 2020 in one.
Yeah, right. So, you know, let's just I think we've learned patience in 2020. We've been forced to learn patience. We've been forced to learn new ways to do things that we normally did. And I think we've really, as a society, we've adapted. You know, we've done what we had to do, you know, whether it's going to a sporting event or just Zoom calling grandma or what, when this all was going on, like my wife's family was all playing bingo Zoom every Friday night. I mean, they still do it because like her mom likes it. So, you know, Disney vacations are going to be different. They're going to be better in ways. I mean, and the thing too, is we close this out because we're getting real long, but the thing I was really encouraged by was that, you know, last week when the crowds really got going, you know, before Christmas and New Year's at Walt Disney World, they started calling back some cast members, you know, and I hope that snowball grows quickly in 2021, that people get more comfortable traveling. So the resorts start to reopen and they start to fill up. And then because of that, you need more chefs, you need more attractions, you need more janitorial, you need, you know, you just need the whole kit and caboodle that we're not going to get everybody back at once, but we need to start getting those cast members back on their jobs because they're the heart and soul of the whole experience for us.
So I had a note listed here, Mike, to a reminder to wrap up show talking about cast members.
There you go. It's why we're best friends, buddy. All right, go ahead. You got the last words. No, go with it. I mean, but I think we're moving slowly in the right direction there.
Yeah. And I was just going to comment, like, you know, early on, it was so tough. There were so many layoffs and furloughs. And you talked about this on the show. Disney was doing a great job with the benefits, you know, trying to take care of as many as they can. But there's so many people are employed by the Walt Disney Organization that, I mean, they unfortunately, to stay alive, they had to do those furloughs and layoffs. And my gosh, like, I am just so optimistic. And I'm just so looking forward to seeing those cast members be called back. And just a reminder for those that, you know, that are going to the service roles of Walt Disney, if you're going to a restaurant, a bar, a lounge, or whatever, if you can, just try to give more where you can, because they've missed that income for a long time.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, even back home, you know, if you're going to pick up takeout, you know, tip like you sat at the booth. That's been our rule. You know, like I don't know who exactly is getting that tip. I mean, but somebody's appreciating it somewhere down the line, you know, and I think that if you have it and you can, you know, it means more than it ever has. So, yeah, I think 2021 is going to be great. I mean, I hope we get lots of vacations together, our family, your family. Hope we get to meet lots of listeners. I mean, OK, let me just ask you. So we're Run Disney fans. You know, we got a lot of them in our audience with the lizards. Star Wars was canceled. What do you like if you had to give odds on Wine and Dine right now, January 1st, what do you think? Because that right now, that's Wine and Dine's the next race on the schedule. I think it's happening.
Wine and Dine is up, right? Yeah. So Wade and I actually were talking about this, and I think they skip Wine and Dine and they start with...
I think they do, too.
2022.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. And I mean, I'm not trying to crush anybody's dreams, right? I mean, do we have any dreams left to crush after 2020? I don't know. You know, because now we're getting our dreams back. I don't want to be the, like, 2021 January 1st dream crusher. And I'm not being that. But I think that's what they might be thinking, right? 2022, January is a fresh start. Like, it'd be a fresh year. Now, I'm not saying Wine and Dine won't happen because it's revenue. They might want this to happen.
Because typically, Wine and Dine starts off the season. Well, it used to be the Disneyland race the Disneyland half that they did in Labor Day weekend at Disneyland when they had Anaheim races. That's what kind of kicked off the Run Disney calendar. But now, since that's gone, like, Wine and Dine to me always starts off the calendar because there's like, yeah, those three races, season. Princess and Marathon, are so close together. But I feel like where you were going to say it's the start of a new calendar year. But let's just start fresh with the granddaddy of them all, right? The marathon weekend.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm already nervous about getting registered because everybody in the world's going to want to run these races at this point. I mean, because there was kind of like, there was that real fever about 6-7 years ago. And then it's kind of dropped off a little bit. It's been a little easier because it's so expensive and they've really kind of you know, reamed us on some of the things. But then now it's going to go back up because everybody's going to, you know, want to run those races. But I think, I'm not saying winding down won't happen. If I had to give it odds, I would say 25% that it does. Because the thing is, like, Chicago Marathon's still on in person in October. And, I mean, if Chicago could do the October Marathon. But the thing is, I got to make these calls so early. I don't know. We'll see.
And not to go crazy run Disney, I know you're trying to wrap up, but you know what kind of bums me a little bit? So, like, they cancel these races and they do the virtual, which is great. You know, if you want that option to go virtual, you know, and get the medals, like that packaging, the different wine and dine was awesome. But like, what disappointed me about that wine and dine for this last year is that they still called it like the fifth anniversary of the two course challenge. Right. And like, to me, like, that shouldn't count towards the anniversary year. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I'm curious what they're going to do going forward with like the missed, because we missed the half that one year. Like, it was I think that was the anniversary year for the half, we ran around the Epcot area resorts. They still counted that as part of the anniversary year. So I don't know. It really doesn't matter. But like, the anniversary medals mean a lot to me for the Run Disney. So I'm just curious how they're going to handle those going forward.
Yeah, I agree. They should not, unless it happens in person, it should not count as like a year of the event. I mean, the virtuals are fine. I think they're cool, but it's the experience it's being there. So yeah, I'm with you. So, all right. Like I said, this could be 7 hours. So we're going to call it, but we can continue this in 2021. It's a good thing. We have plenty of time to do that. Scott, happy new year. Tell the family. And thanks so much for coming on. It's been a blast kind of reflecting on the year and looking forward.
Yep. I love the recap and I'm exactly with you. Really looking forward to a really great 2021. Let's just all be positive and do our things to stay safe and get everything back to normal as we can. And happy new year.
Happy new year. All right. Don't forget the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel would love your support here in 2021. There's some great specials out there right now for early 2021 trips down to Walt Disney World. And don't forget, there's a new special coming out on January 5th. I believe that is Tuesday, where with non-discounted packages, I think it's at least four nights. I got to check this again. We're recording a little bit early, but if you buy 3 days worth of tickets, you can get two free. So there you go. More time in the parks to have more fun. That's always a good thing. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Don't trust me here on the mic. Go to the website. It's all there in black and white and even pictures with graphics. So just go by themagicforless.com. Check out all the details. And while you're there, fill out the quote form. Mention the show and you and I will be planning a great trip together. That's themagicforless.com. Yes, the dog is very excited to get in here with the squeaky toy again, but we're going to finish this show out. Also, please use the Amazon affiliate link here in 2021. It's a free way to support the show. It really does help. It's one extra click. Just go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And again, a huge, huge thank you to our patrons. You made this all possible during 2020. And hope you're enjoying Mike in the Midwest and all the crazy stuff that's random on that little mini show. So thanks again. If you'd like to become a patron, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on social, Instagram and Twitter at brguestpod and at brguestmike. And of course, subscribe and hit the bell and all that good stuff over on Facebook and YouTube as well. All right, we're going to get out of here and watch some football. I don't know. Who knows? By the time this comes out, all the bowl games could be canceled because Mizzou's was. I don't even know at this point. So we're going to just enjoy 2021. So for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a very happy new year. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.